First Samuel chapter 17, verse 45. And the word of God reads,
"Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, who thou hast defied."
You know, the Lord, if you saw the flyer, the Lord laid on my heart the theme. He said, "I want you to tell the people that Goliath goes down. He might be strong, but he's going down. I know that he's big," the Lord said, "but he's going down. I know that he might even be popular, but he's going down." Now understand that as I talk about Goliath on tonight, I want you to understand that Goliath will be symbolic of Satan. And the Israelites are God's chosen people. I don't want to take for granted that everybody knows the story of David and Goliath. And so allow me to briefly go through some points with you, and then we're going to park at our scripture, verse 45. Goliath was a 9 foot tall soldier, a giant from Gath. And the Bible talks about how he enjoyed taunting the people. He loved to brag. And I found out that Satan today, he loves to brag. Young people, he loves it when he hears the young people say that I love getting polluted, bomb blasted off of alcohol. He loves it when we say, "I don't mind smoking a little marijuana." He loves it when we misuse and abuse our body, because he knows that they don't even recognize that their behavior is self-destructive. It's self-damaging. It's self-defeating. And so he listens to us say that. And what I'm saying to you tonight is that even though Goliath would brag and he would taunt the people, the Bible said that the Israelites, now remember, that's God's chosen people, the Israelites were afraid of Goliath. And I've stopped by to tell you that guess what? We've got a modern day Goliath. We've got a modern day Goliath, and it's called sex, drugs, and violence. And this modern day Goliath is so huge. And it's so big that we've even got now churches that are afraid to talk about this modern day Goliath. And so we've got churches all across the nation that are saying that when it comes to sex, drugs, and violence, I just think that ought to be taught in their own individual houses. But I hear the Lord telling me to tell you that I don't just want sex, drugs, and violence to be taught in the individual houses. He says, but it's time for it to be taught in my house. He says, where are those that I have appointed and I've anointed you to feed my sheep? Who will preach and teach and tell the young people, Romans 12 and 1, who will preach and teach them and tell them that you're being beseeched by the mercy of your God to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy? Not act like a hoochie. He said, holy. unto our God, which is our reasonable service. Who will preach and teach and tell my young people that their bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Who will preach and teach and share with my people Leviticus 18 that they would know that I love the homosexual, that they would know that I love the lesbian? But although God loves the homosexual, he hates homosexuality. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. It is not the will of God for two sockets to come together to create bodily electricity. It is not the will of God for two plugs to come together and create electricity. But I hear the Lord saying, if you're going to have godly electricity, I'm not talking about something perverted. I said godly electricity. He said, you better in the confinements of marriage, not courting, not dating, not shacking up, but in the confinements of marriage, you better have a socket and a plug. And so in spite of the Israelites being afraid to fight the Goliath, what they did not expect, Goliath did not anticipate. He did not calculate that God would raise up a lad. That's why I'm so glad that the young people are here on tonight. That God would raise up a lad, a shepherd boy named David, who would walk in victory and talk in victory. And I've been telling people that God is raising up a remnant. And see, the remnant, it doesn't matter what church you go to. It doesn't have to do with your denomination. It doesn't matter whether or not you're rich or poor, black or white. The remnant are those that consist of warriors. See, the remnant, they're trailblazers. The remnant is not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so when we look at David, he walks with victory, he talks victory. And even when they try to tell him, no, David continued to walk and talk in victory. And so I began to ask the Lord, I said, God, how was it that David, just being a young boy, could walk and talk in victory like he did? And he said, Terry, the reason why David walked and talked victory was because he remembered that he had history with me. Because if you read your Bible, somewhere around the 37th verse, it will tell you that David said, I'm not worrying, and I'm paraphrasing, but he wasn't worried about what they were saying as it relates to beating Goliath, because he says, listen, the Lord delivered me from the paw of the bear, and he delivered me from the paw of the lion, and he shall deliver me from this Philistine. That's a word to somebody on tonight. Somebody that's going through, thinking that they can't make it through. Your word tonight is that God said, if you could remember your history with me, it will remind you that with me, you've got the victory. I think I'm going to say that again. If you can remember your history that you have with God, he says you will be reminded that you've got victory. You've got victory through me. Somebody needs to know tonight that God is saying, I did not save you from a sea of sharks to let you die on the beach. Did you hear what I said? I said he didn't save you from a sea of sharks to let you die on the beach. Somebody's saying, well, what exactly does that mean? God is saying, listen, I never told you that the journey would always be easy. But what you need to know is that I haven't brought you this far just to leave you. And so when we look at David, David walks in victory. He talks in victory because he remembers that he has history with God. And because of my history with God, David says that I'm not doubting that I'm going to walk away with the victory. But watch this. Now God gives David some instructions. And even though he's a lad, he's got wisdom. Because he understands that if I am going to avoid a place of destruction, I've got to follow God's instructions. Listen to me good. I think where we make the mistake, we want to win the fight with Satan, but we want to win the fight by fighting in our own might. But my Bible tells me, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And so if you want to win the fight, then you've got to fight the fight in the power of God's might. But watch this. We're coming to where I want to park tonight. Because after he gives him the instructions, the Bible lets us know that David goes to the brook. He gets the 5 smooth stones. He has his staff and he has his sling. Now it's time for David to fight. Tell me what verse 45 says, Michael.
Then said David to the Philistine, thou hast come it to me.
Stop right there. Y'all, I need to tell you this. When I was reading that, just that little part, when David said to the Philistine, thou come it to me. And God said, read it again, Terry. And I read it. And I was like, I really want to go on. I want to get to the sword, the spear, and the shield. He says, read it again. He says, Goliath is a big giant. David is a lad, a young boy. David looks at Goliath and he says, thou comest to me. The Lord said, the reason why I told you to tell the parents to not just send their children, but to bring their children. He says, I want you to remind them and tell them that Deuteronomy 30 and 19 says that I call heaven and earth to record this day. I've set before you life and death. Blessings and curses. Therefore, choose life that both you and thy seed might live. He says, if you won't do it for yourself, start making the right choices for your children. He says, understand that Goliath could have looked at that lad, shepherd boy named David, and said, I'm not going to try to fight you because you're just a child. But David says, thou comest at me. The Lord said, tell the people that time is winding up for Satan. The clock is ticking. And when you get desperate, you start doing desperate things. Tell the people that Goliath, Satan, is coming after your children. It's quiet in here. He says, tell the people that Goliath is coming after your children. And watch this. He's coming after the children in the ghetto, and he's coming after the children in the suburbs. He's coming after black children, He's coming after white children. He's coming after Hispanic children. Watch the news. He's coming after Asian children. He says he's not just coming after your neighbor's children, but he's coming after your children and my children. And he's coming with what the Word of God says. David says, thou comest at me with
sword.
Yes.
And with a spear.
Yes.
And with a shield.
Stop right there. I said, God, what's the sword? He said, Terry, Satan have always wanted to be God. He specializes in counterfeit. He says he understands that the sword of the Spirit, God's sword, is the Word of God. And so he comes and he perverts it. God's Word of God is to build us up. He's coming with a sword for our children with his words to tear them down. Now watch this. He said, be aware of the strategies and the tactics of the enemy, because he's so slick that he can allow us and get us to use his sword on our children. Oh, somebody's saying, well, what are you talking about? You know, when we tell them that you're nothing, you never gonna be nothing, you just like your no good dad, you just like your no good mother. And so we've got the audacity to cuss and fuss when they end up being nothing. Listen, God's sword, the Word of God, said that death in life is in the power of our tongue. Oh, y'all don't believe me. Listen, there's another mentor of mine. He talked about in school, someone using Satan's sword and telling him that he was a mildly, mentally retarded individual. And because of that labeling, because of Satan's sword, he said his self-esteem was so low. He said his self-concept was so poor. And he talked about students. Look what he said. He said, I was sitting in class one day, and young people, guess what? The teacher asked him to go to the board. And when you've got low self-esteem, you're not trying to go to anybody's board. And so he looks at the teacher and he says, no, sir, I don't want to go to the board. The teacher looks again and said, no, son, I'd like for you to get up and just go to the board. He looks and he says, I don't want to go to the board. He says, at that point, I really want to say that they said that I'm mildly. They told me I'm mentally retarded. Don't ask me to go to anybody's board. But in spite of what he was feeling, the teacher said, no, son, listen to me. I want you to get up and just go to the board. So finally he gets up and he goes to the board. And the teacher asked him to work a math problem. Now watch this. He worked the math problem excellent. But after everybody left, this teacher pulled him over on the side. And this teacher began to pour into him the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. The teacher looked at him. He said, listen, I want to tell you something. And what I'm about to tell you, I want you to digest it. I want you to swallow these words. And he looks at that young boy and he says, never, ever, ever let someone's opinion of you become your reality. At that moment, that young boy stopped allowing the negative opinions of others to become his reality. Because the same young man, hear me good, young people, the same young man that the school system said you're mildly, you're mentally, and you're retarded, this young man went on to become an international, profound, motivational speaker. Why? Because he stopped allowing the negative opinions. He stopped allowing the negative opinions of others to become his reality. What am I saying? I'm saying that when you meet folk and they look at you and they say, you know what, you really don't look like your college material. I dare you to look them directly in the eyes and say, thank you for your opinion, but you see, that's not my reality. When they say that, you're from the wrong area. Thank you for your opinion, but you see, that's not my reality. And besides, young people, it's not what people call you that's important, but it's what you choose to answer to. Listen to me good. I had a middle school student after a presentation came up to me and he said, you know what? He said, at my school, the guys, they like to gather around me. And he says, I believe in striving for excellence. I believe in putting my all into what I do. He says, but the young men around my school, hear me good, fellas. He said, they like to gather around me and call me a nerd. And I kind of laughed and chuckled with him. I said, well, how do you respond to them? He says, well, I just look at them and tell them that nerds graduate. And I said, not only do nerds graduate. Not only do nerds graduate, young man, but it's the nerds that go on to become doctors and lawyers and engineers and firemen and preachers and teachers. And I said to him, besides, young man, it's not what they call you that's important, but it's what you make up your mind to answer to. And I don't know about you, young people, but I choose to answer to God's opinion about me. And God's opinion about me is that I am fearfully and I'm wonderfully made. God's opinion about me is that I'm more than a conqueror. God's opinion about me is that, guess what? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. I told the young ladies at Shiloh some time ago, and the young men, I told them that the Bible says, let this mind be in you that is in Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us that we ought to be followers and imitators of God. And I told them that I know that you know how to imitate what you read in the magazines. And I know you know how to imitate what you watch on the videos. And I know you know how to imitate what you hear in the music. We've got little girls. We got big girls. We got grown women now imitating Beyonce. My challenge to you young ladies is that you would imitate God and be what he said. Understand that you belong to the King of Kings. And if you belong to the King of Kings, that makes you a queen. And so I challenge you to get away from the spirit of apathy, not caring. And get away from the vulgarity and get away from misusing and abusing your body. And know that, guess what? I belong to the King of Kings and I am a queen. And to the brothers that are in the house, I've got to say this. I'm talking to every young boy, every grown man. I challenge you to rise up and stand up. Do what's right. We can no longer afford for you all to be ashamed of imitating Christ. Listen, to every young boy, grown man, I charge you to not ever use that B word when you're referring and reflecting to the female queen. The Bible says, young men, that we were made in the image and the likeness of our God. And if you were made in the image and the likeness of your God, he is the King of Kings, which makes you a king. And always remember, young men, that kings never, ever disrespect their queens. Come on, come on, give our kings and queens. And so understand that when I say that the Lord said that Satan Goliath is coming after our children, and the first weapon he's going to use is the sword. The negative words, because he wants it to take root in their spirit. Because when it takes root in their spirit, then their thoughts become consumed with it. And when your thoughts are consumed with negative thoughts, then you give birth to that type of attitude. And your attitude will always show up in your behavior. And so understand, be aware that the first weapon he uses is the sword. But secondly, the Bible says that David said, "You're coming at me with the sword." But then he said, the spear. And I went into meditation with the spear for a while with the Lord. And God began to say something to me. He said, "Terry," he said, "a spear is something that one throws. And the edge of it is so sharp that usually it will puncture its target." The Lord said to me, he's coming after our children. Hear me good, young people. He's coming after you with a spear. You say, "Well, how does that relate to me?" The spear is the experiences that you go through that are really, really painful. And see, I know this is an uncomfortable area because nobody now wants to talk about their wounds. Nobody wants to admit that they've got wounds. And if the truth be told, all of us have experienced wounds on some level. Poor decisions that we make that cause wounds. Bad decisions that sometimes end up costing us a lot more than we thought we were going to have to pay that cause wounds. But what the Lord showed me was that he said, "Tell them that I'm aware of the spear that the enemy is using, those painful experiences that you don't want to tell nobody about." And so what the young people do, they think that if they put a pair name brand tennis shoes on and a name brand outfit, that is going to heal the wounds from the spear. But he took me to something. About 10 years ago, I lost my uncle on the streets of New Orleans to a gunshot wound. And what was amazing is that the doctor said, had he bled externally, he might would have had a chance. But because my uncle was bleeding internally, that was what caused his death. I share that with you because the spear wound has a way of not always showing on the outside, because we know how to dress it up on the outside and be raggedy on the inside. But the Lord says, "I'm aware that you're bleeding. And I brought you here tonight because I want to stop the bleeding. Because if you continue to bleed, death is going to happen." And you say, "Well, I'm feeling mighty healthy." The Lord isn't just talking about 6 feet under. He's talking about death for your dreams and death with your visions and death with your future. He says, "Listen, be aware that the enemy is coming at you with a sword." The parents that are here, let me share with you how we can help our young people that, trust me when I tell you, have got punctures from the spears that God, that the enemy has used against them. I listen to them tell me that I'm being molested in my home. I listen to them tell me, guess what, that I'm struggling with pornography. I listen to them tell me that it used to be that folk that got loaded, adults would say, "I'm messing up my life, but you better do well with your life." Now the enemy is so rampant among our communities, that it's about us getting loaded together. The Lord says, here's how you help my sons and daughters that have been punctured with Satan's spear. It's documented of a woman of God who had a young man in her class that had several punctures from the spear. He had been battered by the sword of the enemy. And she said that this young man would constantly create chaos and havoc in her classroom. And she said one day, she said, all of my children, they were sitting around and they were talking about what they were going to buy me for my Christmas present. And she said, the day of my Christmas party, all of my children sat around as I sat with them to open up my gifts. She said, when it came to the gift of this young man who had been creating so much chaos in my class, she said, I noticed that his gift, Schofield, was wrapped in newspaper. And she said, after everybody left, she said, I walked over by that kid. And I said, listen, she said, I noticed that the gift was wrapped in newspaper. And when she opened up that gift that was wrapped in newspaper, there was a bracelet. But the bracelet had many different stones in it, but there were stones missing from it. And so she asked the young man, she said, this is a beautiful bracelet. Thank you for buying this for me. The young man looks at her. He said, that broken bracelet that you have that you love, he said, it belonged to my mother. She OD'd on crack cocaine. She said, at that moment, I began to see that child in an entirely different light. She said, I began to work with that child. She said, I began to work with him. I had patience with him. And she said, here's a child that was making D's and F's. He went to making A's, B's, and very few C's. She says, but after elementary school, she said he went on to middle school, and from time to time, he would contact her. But she said from middle school, he went on to high school, and she said he would contact her. But after high school, she said she kind of lost contact with him. She said it was not until, Pastor, one day I walked over to my mailbox, and she said in my mailbox was an invitation, help me God, to his college graduation. She said, when I went to the graduation, each graduate had a seat designated for the mother and the father. She said, would you believe that in the seat where his mother would have sat, she said, he had my name. And she said, as I watched him walk across that stage, she said, I knew that God had used me as a vessel to make a difference in this young man's life. What am I saying? I'm saying to the adults that are here, we've got to go where they are and then take them to where they need to be. Too often we want them to just be where we want them to be. The challenge tonight is that you go where they are and that you take them to where God wants them to be. But listen, not only did David say, you come at me with a sword? You're coming at me with a spear? He says, you're coming at me with a shield. And again, y'all, if it's the one thing that I have is an ear to hear what thus says the Lord. The Lord told me, he said, the shield. My shield, Terry? is to build you up in faith. The Satan, Goliath, he's coming with his shield. But his shield is not about filling you with faith, but he says it's to fill you with fear. Now watch this. It is because of fear many times that we settle for known hells as opposed to reaching for unknown heavens. Somebody didn't get that. I said many times because of fear we settle for unknown heavens. We settle, help me, Holy Ghost, for unknown heavens instead of trusting God to bring us through to what we need to have. And listen, I need to tell you that Miles Monroe, Nelson Mandela said something. He said that our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Hear me. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. He says it's our light, mother, not our darkness that frightens us. And we ask ourselves, well, who am I to be brilliant, talented, anointed, when actually who are you, young people, not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small doesn't serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. See, you were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. And the good news, guess what, is not just in some of us. But I'm so glad that God took the time to put it in every one of us. And so listen to me, as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give others permission to do the same. And as we are liberated from our own fears, my brothers and sisters, guess what? Our presence will automatically liberate others. I'm saying to you that when Goliath comes at you with the sword of negative words, when he comes at you with the spear, those painful experiences that we sometimes have to go through, when he comes at you with the shield trying to get you to receive fear, you got to do what David did. Because David said, Michael, what did he say?
But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, who thou hast defied.
Thou hast defied. And if you read that story, when it goes down, David goes in his bag, takes out that stone, and slings it. And when he slings it, Goliath goes down. The stone, the rock, didn't just knock him down. It didn't just knock him out. It took him out. And I've come to tell somebody tonight, the Lord says, I know that you're facing a Goliath. We've got all different kinds of Goliaths that sometimes try to rise up in our lives. But he says, learn from the lad. Learn from the shepherd boy named David. He said, if you would allow me to be the rock that would fight your Goliath. He said, the promise is that he's not just going to go down. You're not just going to knock him down. Guess what? You're not just going to knock him out. He says, but I, the rock, I'm going to take him out. Somebody ought to give God. Somebody ought to give God. Listen to me good. There are those tonight who God says that I've brought them here tonight to this place. And that's why this place is filled with different churches, different denominations. Take a look around. This is God's doing. There's black, white, tan, and brown in here. The Lord said, this is no time to play church. But we've got to be the church. This is no time to be confessing something that we have no intentions of possessing. He says, I brought this message to you because I want you to know that Satan is not playing with us. He's trying to take us out. And so your word tonight is that if there's a Goliath in your life, the Lord would have you, as they play for us, to come to this altar. That you would come to the altar and that you would tell the Lord, God, I understand that you're knocking at my door. We love when God knocks at other people's door, but tonight God is knocking at your door. He says, you know you've got a Goliath, and I know you've got a Goliath. He says, I'm knocking at the door of your heart. And I fixed it that there's no handle on the outside. The handle is on the inside. And he says, unless you open the door, I could come in, but I won't come in. Because I'm a gentleman. I want to know that you're coming after me, not because I made you, but because you willingly come and say, God, can't nobody do me like you can do me, Jesus. I ask you tonight, young people, wherever you are in this congregation, I challenge you tonight to no longer fight your Goliath on your own, but that you would receive the word from the Lord to say, God, I know that there's some adults who think that young folk don't have no problem, but God, you know that I've got a Goliath in my life. God, I'm struggling in this area. For parents that are expecting their children to be something that they don't see, get to the altar tonight and tell the Lord, God, help me to be what you want me to be so that my children can see it, so that they can be motivated to be it. Oftentimes we expect for them to be something that they don't see. And it's hard to be what you don't see. And so our young people need to see queens on tonight. Our young boys need to see kings on tonight. Some of them have been tampered with. They need to know that there is something called a tax-free love. That you don't want nothing from me. You just want to love on me tonight. And so, young people, if you've never, ever accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I would invite you to come to this altar. The Lord will prick your heart. And the Bible says that the day that you hear my voice, harden not your heart. For those tonight that say, I'm saved, I know the Lord, but there is a Goliath that I'm struggling with. And I want the Lord to serve as a rock for my Goliath. I need God to knock it down and knock it out and take it out. I ask that you would come tonight.